Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Human Rights Demand. We make a demand for human rights here at this radio show every day at 3 p.m. We realize we're late today getting started, and I apologize for that. We have an exciting show today, and the show you can get involved in, because we wish that we knew what it feels like to be free. That's a song that Nina Simone wrote and sang some years ago. And people are still wishing for the same thing today. We wish that we knew what it feels like to be free. Free people are treated with dignity and respect. And that's what we're asking for. That's what we're requesting. And that is what we demand. You know, years ago, a famous abolitionist named Frederick Douglass in the 1800s said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. And we believe that here at this radio show. And every day, individuals come on to Human Rights Demand and make a demand for fair treatment. They make a demand for human rights. And we have here today a woman who wants to tell you about a planned class action lawsuit regarding foreclosed properties. Yes, America suffered from foreclosures throughout the country, where hardworking Americans, through no fault of their own, were evicted from their homes. They were homeowners, and they were evicted due to swindling and dirty dealings by the elite. The elite suppresses working class Americans. The elite suppresses poor and indigent Americans, even retired people. Even people who are over 80 years old are swindled and brutalized by the elite. And I want to thank you right now for joining us here at Human Rights Demand. And without any further ado, I will turn the show over to our host for today. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Mary?
I am doing very well, thank you. And I'm glad that you came to fight for human rights today. And I want you to go right ahead and tell us about your case. We have a caller online. Now, are you calling from 3754 or are you calling from 6091?
3754.
Okay, we also have 6091 on the air. I want to make you aware of that, and you can allow them to speak whenever you're ready. Thank you for calling 6091. I want to offer the general public an opportunity to call in today and tell us about your foreclosures, tell us about your foreclosure nightmares. I met a man when I was interviewing with Lawless America. He and his wife were actually evicted by SWAT. SWAT came to their house and evicted them. He was brutalized and arrested. So I want you to know that all of these foreclosures have not been a gentle goodbye to the homes that these people have worked hard and paid house notes on and paid for improvements on. Some of these evictions that removed homeowners from their property have been very brutal. And I want you to know that and call in and tell us about your foreclosure nightmare at 347-857-3293. The telephone number again is 347-857-3293. This woman who you will hear from has planned a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, for individuals who have been so mistreated as to be evicted from their own property. Thank you very much for joining us on Human Rights Demand.
All right. Thank you for having me, Mary. Yes, of course, my name is Afuya Anfama. And, you know, I really got started with all of this after fighting for 12 years with my mother's situation, who is 80 at this point, but has been fighting since she was around 57 to hold on to her home. And, you know, real briefly, what this boiled down to, and it happened to a lot, that some of these people were walking into the urban neighborhoods, knocking on doors and asking people if they wanted to buy property, the scam started really at a bottom level, knocking right on the doors of the people who were the prospective homeowners, people that they knew, all right? Some of them got financed and didn't even have jobs. So this has been a major nightmare. So what they have done is actually caused the economy to be in such a state that if you have the judges or anyone that acknowledges that these banks have done wrong, it could cause the bottom to fall out of the economy, all right? The judges are protecting their pensions. You know, everyone is just looking out for money, 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 but they don't give a darn about the citizens who are suffering. These people have made entire families homeless, children living in cars, but the worst thing that I have seen is that they are doing this to senior citizens. Senior citizens who they don't care and will put you out on the street, as they did my mother on May 30th of 2014. So we're looking at something on a large scale. So we're looking at the elite looking to get more money, and they already have all of the money. So it's just a matter of greed, and I call it savagery, because anyone who does such a thing to the civilian population just to make more money, you're savages. And that's where I stand with it. So all of these years, you know, it had been fighting directly with the banks and going back and forth to court and everything, and it just wasn't making a difference. It got to a point where they started saying, it's old, all right? Being too old is not an excuse. It's not an excuse. I say that again. What it is was a reason for them to turn it away. They had to find some kind of reason. They couldn't find anything legal, so they started talking about, this case is too old, it's just now time for you to be out of the house. I had one judge actually say that my mother and I were abusing the system by still being in the home, which I found deplorable. So I started fighting not only for myself, I started fighting for everyone. I started a group called Urban Communities United, which is helping homeowners learn pretty much how to defend their properties, all right? It's giving them soup to nuts, what to do, how to do it. And with this Urban Communities United, I created something called the Home Defenders Institute, where I have a bound manual which shows you what to do step by step to home defend. But if I don't say anything else, or if you don't understand anything else that I'm saying, I need for everyone who is listening to understand that the second you get any paperwork from a court involving the beginning of a foreclosure proceeding, always file an answer. File an answer no matter what. If you've got proof that you paid, if what they're saying is not true, you have to file an answer. Or for that matter, even if it's not, you know, even if it's not true or if it's true, file an answer. You have to do that, because they use that down the road to say that you did not answer. Therefore, it's an automatic assumption that you're guilty. You want to always not be a plaintiff. You want not to always be a defendant. You want to be a plaintiff. So once they do that and they keep going on with their treacherous ways, the next thing that you do, you need to file your own paperwork or get an attorney that's going to really knock this out of the ballpark for you. There are many of them around here. And in addition to that, there are many laws on the books to protect homeowners. But the judges and a lot of the attorneys are neglecting to tell you that information, or they just don't know enough about it to even follow through. So we as citizens have to stick together, and we have to look up these statutes, and if we have to take it to federal court ourselves, then that's what we need to do, to file the injunctions to do everything, because they will put you out of your home. And like Mary just said, they will send SWAT teams in. The state police will come. Sometimes these banks go through the asset recovery companies, which will hire their own armed guards to come in. All right? So if they're armed, what are they looking for to happen? All right? For me and my mother, as that recovery company comes in, they wanted to bring in their own guards for an 80-year-old woman and myself. I'm 54. So what were we going to do to stop them from removing us from the home? All right? It was absolutely ridiculous. So what I had been doing was in April and in May, I held two meetings at Armand City Hall. And this was the beginning of trying to initiate some kind of bill to get to the Congress, to the floor, to get passed, you know, talking about the things that were happening and holding people accountable. But most of all, the second that a homeowner's paperwork shows any kind of fraud whatsoever, I wanted it to read that they are automatically to receive a moratorium on that particular property until a resolution is made. And if it is found that there is something fraudulent, then they either are going to give a quiet title, all right, which is actually giving you over the title to your house free and clear, or they are to renegotiate your loan and do it the right way. So if there's an amount of time that they've decided that they wanted to cheat you out of something, then that's like forgiven. Forgiven as we have to forget those 10 years that we abused you, all right, by trying to steal your home, and we're starting out fresh. And what I say to most people is what you want is, number one, for them to drop your interest rate down. And I would take it down to 2% if I could, all right? 2% is usually a mere percentage of what they are actually charging you. In addition to that, you want the principal value of your property brought down to what the market value is right now, because most homes are not valued at what they were prior to this the drop in the market from the housing bubble. Okay, so you want to really be on top of that so that you understand exactly what's happening and why. But first and foremost, I have to say it again and again, the second you get some paperwork, you must file an answer. If you don't know where to go, contact legal services, contact legal aid, or go to an attorney to get a consultation, or more than that, feel free to contact me. At the end of the show, I will provide you with some information, and Mary, if it'll be okay with you, that we can post the information on your website. Is that fine with you?
That's absolutely fine with me. I will be glad. As a matter of fact, I want to invite people again to see the billboard for Human Rights Demand on Blog Talk Radio. The telephone number to call in today is 347-857-3293. We have a billboard, and below the billboard, we have a place for comments. And I ask you to go online after the show and place whatever information you want pertinent to getting in contact with you and pertinent to the class action lawsuit that you plan regarding foreclosures. Whatever you want to put in comments is okay. If you need to use 4 or 5 comments, that is okay too. All the comments will go supposedly to my wall at Facebook for higher visibility. So go ahead and put the comments, or they will go to your Facebook wall because you'll be signed in as yourself. You can share them to my wall simply by putting my name, Mary Neal, in the tagging me, and then it will go to my wall too, as I understand it. And so, yes, we will share information regarding this lawsuit. We stand behind you 100%. I'm trying right now to find an article I wrote some time ago, and that was concerning the NAACP, which had a class action lawsuit for the people of Memphis, Tennessee, against Wells Fargo Bank. They had a class action lawsuit against Wells Fargo Bank pertaining to unfair foreclosures. And the next thing the people of Memphis knew, who were to be plaintiffs against that company, the NAACP had dropped their lawsuit, and they had accepted gratuities from Wells Fargo. As a matter of fact, Wells Fargo became one of the main sponsors of the NAACP Image Awards that year. So this is what these big so-called human and civil rights organizations sometimes do. They sometimes make it look like they're on the people's side according to their reputation. You got to understand that the NAACP has a strong reputation that was not earned by its present officers. It was earned and forged during the 1960s and before, when wonderful people like Thurgood Marshall and others used that organization and the power thereof to make great inroads regarding civil and human rights. And the officers of that corporation now use their names and reputations to do things like it did regarding Wells Fargo. It allowed Wells Fargo to sponsor its Image Awards, and I think this was a couple of years ago, and I believe in return it dropped the People of Memphis lawsuit against Wells Fargo for foreclosures. Now, that may have been Wachovia, when Wells Fargo was Wachovia. I'm not sure. I'm checking the article for you now. But this is why the people are out there on their own fighting. It's because the large organizations are not interested in standing with the people in their legal battles, in their battles against oppression. The large corporations are paying them off. I'll just put it plain. They're paying them off. And therefore, it is very difficult to fight against these elitists who have big, deep pockets, and they have pockets enough to bat off people who should be fighting on the people's side. But I'm not worried about that, and I'll tell you why. It's because the Bible says, behold, the peoples is one. And that wasn't bad grammar. God said the peoples is one. And that is there represents the fact that the people had united. And he said, behold, the peoples is one. And this they began to do. And now nothing. They have one language. One language. And you know, a computer makes it possible for peoples all across the world to speak in a language that they understand, because the computer can translate any language into any language. So my God said, behold, the peoples is one, and they have one language. And now anything that they set their mind to do, they can do. And so that's what God said in Genesis 11:6. And I believe that all that's missing is unity among the peoples. You know, we would love to have the support of major organizations, civil and human rights organizations that fight against elitists on behalf of the peoples, the common, ordinary, everyday peoples who worked hard and built this country and built a life for themselves. Oh, we would love to have support from these big human and civil rights organizations like NAACP, but we don't have it. Let's be frank. Those big human and civil rights organizations can be bought off, and the corporations and the elitists have deep pockets enough to buy them off. But if the peoples would unite around this issue, then there would be nothing that they could do about it, because there are so many more of us than there are of them. We just need to wake up, and when we wake up, we need to stand up and resist oppression. The Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, you don't have to always be the underdog. If you just stand in the name of Jesus Christ and resist the devil, which is nothing but the desire to steal, kill, and destroy, that is the devil. The Bible says he comes with a raging, he comes as a raging lion to steal, kill, and destroy. So whenever forces unite to steal, kill, and destroy from the people, that is the devil that I mean. But the Bible tells us to resist that force, resist those elitists, resist those oppressors. If we stand united, as the Bible says in Genesis 11:6, and if we resist oppression, as it says in James 4:7, then the devil, in other words, those oppressors, those elitists, those people who care nothing about this woman's 80-something-year-old mother they evicted from her home. If we stand together as one and resist the devil, then he will flee from us. That's what God said. That's God's word on it, and I believe it. I want to bring in our caller right now and see if they have something to say. We have another 1 hour and 25 minutes to discuss this, and so there's no hurry. You can present whatever documents and information that you want to and go into as much detail as you feel comfortable. 6091, would you like to speak? 6091, would you like to speak on air? You're welcome to call in to just listen like 6091 did, and you're also welcome to listen to the broadcast on the computer at Human Rights Demand at Blog Talk Radio. Now, I want you to know our telephone number in case you do want to call in, and that's 347-857-3293. I want to tell our host today that any information that you want to give that's pertinent to your mother's homeowner case, then go right ahead and give it, because this tape is going to be widely dispersed, and individuals might want some information regarding your particular case and who your deed holder was and what have you. So just go ahead and give us any information you feel like is relevant to this lawsuit.
Okay. Well, I tell you, we started out with a company called Homeside Lending, but the originator of the loan was with Eastwood Mortgage Bankers, and the president of Eastwood Mortgage Bankers actually went to jail for mortgage fraud. HUD prosecuted him, and he went to jail for 10 months, and he had to pay, I think it was $5 million in restitution. However, HUD did not notify all of the homeowners about the fraud that they had been subjected to. So many lost their homes and still don't know why. And a lot of people just walk away when they see it get too bad. My mother and I stayed. We chose to fight. And you know, constantly we went to court, we did what we had to do, and we maintained, you know, our stance, because they started with they lost some money, we showed them the receipts, and they refused to reconcile. Now, mind you, the attorney that they hired, Homeside Lending, which actually was a part of Washington Mutual, was a law firm called, at that time, Shapiro and Diaz. Then it switched to Shapiro and Perez. Then it switched to Shapiro and DiNardo. Now, I found out recently that in 2006, they were hit with a fine of $125,000 for doing just this type of thing, for doctoring paperwork, all right, for coming in and filing cases that were not complete, where the actual lender was not delineated. They did not know who it was, okay? Now, in my mother's case, in 1999, I found out that a Massachusetts Mutual, which is a life insurance company, a part of MetLife, State Farms, and a few other, you would not believe, and I still to this day do not understand what their involvement in it is and was. So they purchased a home in 1999, but the people who foreclosed was Washington Mutual, who then turned into Wachovia Bank, Deutsche Bank, Bank Boston, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Lord knows who else, okay? I just know at one point I was looking at a document, an eviction letter, that had about 7 banks on it, which I thought was illegal in itself. So we fought that too, and then all of a sudden they brought down the name to just J.P. Morgan Chase, who actually had nothing to do with it, and then they had to actually rescind the eviction notice. But mind you, that was after we picketed. At that time, I was a member of the People's Organization for Progress, and we picketed in front of J.P. Morgan Chase. We picketed in front of Wells Fargo nonstop. We got petition signs. I have one on the Occupy website that has, I believe it's like 6,700 signatures on it. I've got one on the White House website, one on Care2, one on change.org, and on and on. It moved move.org, and you know, we amassed a lot of signatures. So in addition to that, you know that the advocacy, the grassroots work that you do is extremely important because you have to attack them on all sides. On one day in particular, Wells Fargo must have gotten about 6,000 phone calls, and they were so upset. The president's telephone number, he does not allow them to let the phone calls go to voicemail. So someone has to keep answering the phone. So believe it or not, every time they hung up the phone, boom, somebody else was on it. Hang it up, another call. And everyone asking the same questions. Why are you doing that to Susie Johnson? And when are you going to let her back in her home or just immediately stop the eviction proceedings? That didn't stop them from it. All right. Actually, on May 30th, she was actually evicted from her property, and they did it so fast with the help of the Essex County Sheriff's Department, who initially told me that they were not going to do anything until the end of July or the beginning of August, which was a lie. And that was so that I could not organize, which is something that I would have done, and we would have had a lot of people in front of her house again. As we did in 2012, and we made the news. So trying to get in touch with the undersheriff and the sheriff, or the sergeant down at the courthouse the day before, and nothing, you couldn't get him on the phone. At one point, one of the sheriffs told me they didn't even know who he was. One of the officers did. I actually got up and went down there on the day that they said they were going to evict. I was there before they opened. The second I saw the sergeant, he actually said to me that Judge Kaprowski is waiting for you in Chancery Court. Now, we didn't have a court date on that day. All right? So obviously they had been talking about it, and what it seemed to me is like they were luring me away from the property. So as I'm leaving the court, as he usually says, whatever insulting things that he says in there, ignoring me, and then their attorney saying that they saw my mother, who can barely walk, watering flowers in the front of the house, and we have no flowers in the front of the house, okay? The judge listened to that, then he was saying some things, and he was actually walking out of the courtroom while he was still talking. As I'm getting up to walk out, two clerks run behind me telling me that the sheriffs and the movers are already at your home. My mother was inside with her home health aide, and they were terrified and would not open the door. So when I got there, they actually knew who I was, knew what kind of car I drove, knew what I had on. So they were completely prepared for that day. And the from LPS Asset Recovery, or they call themselves now Express Asset Recovery, a Chris Beck, was the nastiest something I had ever seen in my life. He actually was outside talking about, he calls himself a redneck. All right? Now, we're from down south. Anytime we run into someone who is known to be a redneck, that's not a good thing, all right? For me, that's a racist, a bigot, all right? A nasty one, too. He made everything so difficult, so hard. Everything was ugly and nasty. I have never seen anything like this before in my life, with them throwing her things in boxes, breaking TVs. They broke the refrigerator. She's a diabetic. They threw her, the thing that you take her sugar level with, in a box somewhere. And we did not know where her clothes were. I had to go out and buy her some new things, including underwear, the next day. So thank God I had an apartment. I had a bedroom. I gave her my bedroom. I actually sleep on the couch. But it's just the nightmare and what it has taken her through. Right now, my mother has lost a lot of weight. Okay, and she's barely eating, and she's struggling through this, saying that she's homeless. Yes, she's here with me, but her whole life, as she knows it, has been changed. Now, there are a group of other seniors that have come together, and we have started meeting to discuss the situation and how to handle it. So, step by step, I wrote a bill. I've done the research, so I'm waiting now to meet with one of the congressmen's people so that we can try to doctor this up a little more so that it fits and has the possibility of even hitting Congress. So it's just one big thing after another. With that, okay, and all of the fighting that we've been doing, I knew that there was more that I could give. So with the start of the group that I started, I also did something called the Home Defenders Institute. And as I said, I have a bound manual on how to defend your home. It would be something that would be done on a weekend. It would be like 4 hours each time on maybe two consecutive Saturdays or Sundays, where we go soup to nuts on what to do to take care of your home. All right? How to defend, how to do whatever is legally necessary. And above all else, how to work from the grassroots level, how to organize. And my key phrase that I've heard over and over again, I love it, is called agitate, agitate, agitate. So we know that when you start making these call-ins into the banks, all right, and right now what I have, allow me to stop and back up and let me tell you about in addition to the court proceedings that we have filed individually for my mother's case, I also have initiated weekly call-ins to Wells Fargo. 2 days a week, we call in there all day and ask them, when are you going to give Susie Johnson her home back? So they get the calls back-to-back. Then we had a day that we did express asset recovery for Chris Beck, and we will be doing him again this week. We've done J.P. Morgan Chase. Mass Mutual has gotten it as well, and they will continue to get it. I am getting a huge following from Twitter, Facebook, emails, you name it. They are coming through, and they are really sticking together. And right now we are in the process of once more to do or to have a national protest, all right? We're talking about from here to California to protest in each city against Wells Fargo. So people will be out there. They will be passing out flyers. We will do whatever it is that's necessary to make sure that everyone knows that you're not alone in this. Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America, they do not care who the victim is as long as they can take from you. They do, however, gear toward people of African descent. That's one thing that we need to make very clear. And I don't care what anybody says. Their main targets are people of African descent, all right? And if they are elderly, the better for them because they think that nobody's going to help them save their homes. I beg to differ. I guess they didn't know that my mother had this 50-year-old woman, a big girl, that will fight hard. And for each family that has a parent or a grandparent that is going through this, please do step out. Let them know that you are there, all right, that you will not allow this to happen without a fight. If you let me know about it, I'm involved. I'm in it right away, okay? And we can organize and put everything together. I can reach out and give you some contact names if you're in another state. If you're in New York or New Jersey, we can protest together. Now, specifically, Wells Fargo is who I have been concentrating on because they are the major offenders here. And I believe that John Stump should go to jail. All right? Right now on Facebook, I have a call-in set up, and it's called the weekly call-in. Let's occupy John G. Stump, CEO Wells Fargo's phone lines all day, and it has the phone number there. And I will announce the telephone number as we speak. It is area code 415-396-7018. Again, it is area code 415-396-7018. He doesn't like the phone calls, but they go in, and it absolutely drives the staff nuts because every phone call, they have to answer it. Now, this is what has to be done. There has to be planning at all times because, see, they think that they're smarter than us automatically. Somehow they were given the key to walk through the front door. We've got politicians on staff. We've got them on all different levels. and they have not made a move to do anything. You go to them with problems, and they say nothing. So I had an issue. I contacted Senator Menendez right here in this district. We voted him into office, and then we went to Congressman Donald Payne Jr., who took over for his father after he passed. I wasn't getting any responses. So what I did was I did a call-in to Senator Menendez and into Congressman Payne's office as well. My statements were, why have you abandoned 80-year-old Susie Johnson, who was fraudulently evicted from her home? Now, Congressman Payne's office contacted me back from D.C., from Capitol Hill, and I met with him a few weeks ago. Senator Menendez's office, there is a person in there called Zach, who will make a mess of your situation. And I am saying it out loud. I am saying it on the radio. I will say it and scream it to the top of my lungs because he does nothing. What he said to me and the interns in there said to me as well is that Senator Menendez does not have time to do things like this. He hires or allows his interns to do this kind of work. He doesn't have time for constituents' concerns. So if you don't have time for constituents' concerns, then you should not have that office. You should not be getting paid. You're being paid on our tax dollars to not help your citizens. What's your worth? None. Then I started doing a little more research, and I understand he's on an FBI investigation. For what? I don't know. I didn't even bother to look any further. I just think that maybe we might look into recalling him from his position, because if you don't do anything for your citizens, you don't need to be in that position. Our community religious leaders read these things. I send private messages to them. I send emails. I make phone calls. They are actually standing back as well and doing nothing. Again, my problem is that you're only, if you have a flock, your flock is not only valuable to you or valid as long as you are in the pulpit on Sundays when you're preaching. You're preaching about the gospel. You're preaching about kindness. You're preaching about whatever it is that you're preaching about, but you're only concerned about it on Sundays. That is an issue for me. Many of these pastors are in areas that have been plagued with blight, which are a danger to our children who walk past these places to go to school, anybody who goes by these places, and blight is the emptying out of the buildings. You see big empty lots. They are things that have been manipulated by these banks, all right, in order to, I guess, rebuild or whatever they're going to do. But nevertheless, these places are empty, and they are dangerous areas for our children especially, okay? So there's nothing being done about it. Now, when we talk about eminent domain, which is supposed to be something that's not for profit, you're not supposed to be a private entity taking over the eminent domain properties. It's something totally different. But from what I understand, that the majority of the buildings that have been taken over by eminent domain has been with private companies who are making profits off of them. What I have to say to that is, number one, they should be prosecuted. Number two, whoever authorized it needs to be prosecuted as well. What we as citizens should do with all of these empty vacancies, with all these empty properties, is we need to go in, take them over, and house the homeless. We have families, we have children, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers who have been evicted illegally from their properties, and they have no place to go. And these big empty places are located here, and nobody's using them. So eminent domain has usually the city has some kind of redevelopment fund that can help you as long as it's a not-for-profit. But it's been done the opposite way. So these banks always find a way in one way or another. I still say the politicians have let them in the front door, not the back door. They have let them in the front door. and it's making it exceptionally hard for us to get them out of the front door. They are so embedded into our communities that it's like they own the place. Now, let me give you an example of Detroit. Detroit was the automobile capital of the world or of the nation. They got rid of all of those places. The homes that, I mean, it's like a ghost town down there. So what was once an urban area, and it was the place that nobody wanted, all of a sudden turned into prime real estate. And from what I understand, they're going to build casinos down there. Now, we know the waterfront is there. They want to build it around the waterfront. In the meantime, J.P. Morgan Chase has put in, I believe it was $100 billion that they put into redevelopment down there, is so that they can make money off of those casinos. And as we all know, recently they've been going through the shutting off of the water for the citizens in the city of Detroit. Now, I always thought that water was free. All right, we know homeowners have water bills and things like that, but they're shutting off these things in apartment complexes. So they found another way to empty out the properties. So they have something in mind. But even though we know that it's happening, we still have not gotten to a point where we are so educated or so aware that we stick together and do what is necessary to make this right. And we have the right to be wherever we choose to live. If we choose to live in the middle of the block where you want to build a casino on each side and it's legal, then they have no authority to kick you out of your property. So now they're trying to empty everybody out by turning off the water, which is an unsanitary situation. People, some have been without water for months. And the city is allowing this to happen from, I don't remember what the man's name is, but he hired an outside company who has been driving up and down the streets and shutting off the water. Now, that's crazy to me. We've got kids, we've got the sanitary conditions, I mean, the toilets, the everything. How do you do that to the citizens of your city that helped to get Detroit to where it is from the beginning? So you decided to sell off the city, put the city into bankruptcy, and now you're trying to collect that money from the citizens who had free water and who pay their rent, and now they can't have water to bathe in. They have emergency stations set up where they go and get water. Now, this is just the beginning of this stuff. Let's look at Katrina, all right? Let's look at New Orleans and what has happened down there. Same situation, okay? No, they didn't have the closing of the properties or the companies because of it. We had Katrina do her thing and the levee overflowing. The amount of people killed because of it is a nightmare. So we're dealing with a whole lot of things, and these people are still not living in a decent manner. It's disgusting. It absolutely is disgusting. So we as a people have to get together and work this out. So what I've started is a national campaign to pull together everyone who has been affected, not infected, affected, because you can get affected in many aspects. It not only hits you financially, it makes you homeless. It can attack you emotionally. Now, I am a clinician, a therapist, a marriage and family therapist, and I have seen the nightmare. And besides that, I've seen the nightmare with my mother firsthand. It makes you think like you've lost everything. That puts you in a position where you are so up in the air, you don't know what to do next. And that, my dear, has infuriated me, yes, because it's my mother, but it has also motivated me to work on behalf of everyone else. So I invite you to please contact me and let me know that you would like to join in on this class action suit. It's not only against Wells Fargo. Let's get it for Bank of America. Let's get it for Wachovia or Wells Fargo. They're the same people. Let's get it for J.P. Morgan Chase and anybody else who is still in the business of oppressing us. We have to fight back without divisiveness. The one thing they do well is try to separate us apart. We are no longer in the days of slavery. And we can only go back there if we allow the 1% to take us there. I choose not to be there anymore. Therefore, I am working hard. Now, I've introduced in my city, in Orange, New Jersey, a resolution to the city council. And just recently, I issued a declaration to the city council, to the mayor of Orange, to get some help. Now, my thing is with that, is if, well, we know that in Baltimore and a few other cities, they have placed lawsuits against these places and have actually won millions of dollars, all right? So my thing is if you have complacent elected officials in your city, now it's time to let them know that if you refuse to move forward, we will sue you as well, all right? These cities are not negated from suit. Many cities, states, municipalities, whatever they are very negligent when it comes down to these things. Whatever the reasons are, I don't care. Our first priority should always be our citizens. Always our citizens. Anything that you have a personal goal or whatever it may be, if you think that coming into an elected office is where you need to be, you're wrong. Because there is street-level work that needs to be done. You need to be on the pavement, all right, to see what's happening in your neighborhoods. The majority of them don't know where the killings have been going on in these last couple of years. They have no clue what's happening. So they need to be held accountable for their works or lack of work that they're doing. And I'm on that point, too. So I don't know anybody that's in the Orange area, the North area, whatever it is. The next city council meeting in the city of Orange, I believe it's April 4th. I will be speaking at that, August 1st, 4th. I will be speaking at that council meeting. And one thing that they're good for in there, and I've seen it in other council meetings, is these people get on their cell phones. They text. They do all kinds of things while the constituents are standing at the podium and speaking. I object to that as well. So all of these things are coming into play. Accountability must take place. We have to stick together to get this done. I've got the initial paperwork filled out. I've got everything on board. I've got attorneys that are willing to help us across the board. And in addition to that, I've been planning fundraisers to help. I've negotiated with a place called Fraud Stoppers for people who needed forensic audits to get it at a discounted rate when we do it in bulk format, all right? So all of this is in place. All I need now are for people to step forward. Don't be afraid. The banks are not afraid to step in and put you out of your house. The police in your municipality are not afraid to come and help them put you out of your house. So don't be afraid to step forward and sue the people who are ruining your lives. They have turned your American dreams into the American nightmare, and it's the worst act of domestic terrorism on American soil in the history, all right, that are being done by banks, all right? Slavery is over. I will no longer be a slave to the banks, and I'm suggesting that you not be one as well. All right, so we're looking at the major people that are subjected to subprime lending, people of African descent. The Latino and Hispanics are second behind that, all right? We have so many people that automatically say that if we have mortgage issues and the banks are refusing to take it, like they don't listen to that. They automatically assume that the problem popped up because you did not pay your bill. All right? These banks got away with this as long as they have because there has been no unity amongst us. I mean, even when it comes down to the organizations, many do not support each other. All right? They click up and do things for people that they I guess are friends with, and everybody else be damned. So what I am saying is for us to please stick together and let's do what we need to do. All right? On Facebook, my name is Afua Ampama, A-F-U-A, last name A-M-P-O-M-A. And I have been connecting up with the occupiers in New York and in other states in California, North Carolina, South Carolina, and a few other places, and we are all gathering together to deal with this problem. We have to deal with this problem immediately. Now, I'm going to plan my next Home Defenders Institute or the seminar for in August. Towards the end of August, I will definitely make sure that it is put up on Mary's website and on her page so she knows. From now on, any information that I have, I will make sure that it's disseminated everywhere that you can possibly think of. Myself, I even have a website, and the name is www.recoveringandrebuilding.com. That is also the name of my not-for-profit and the Urban Communities United and Home Defenders Institute falls under that. In addition to that, for those who have been harmed, all right, either by, you know, victims of violence or anything like that, I also have two programs called Clinicians Helping to Heal Newark and Clinicians Helping to Heal Irvington. Just recently I started talking to Forsake about going there, and there will be a few other locations as well. Because this has happened with my mom, I pretty much stick around the house most of the time right now. I do a lot of work online and on the phone because I don't leave her alone. The nurse or aide is here in the daytime. I take over from there. We have to take care of our people. We have to. There's no way around it. If we don't stick together, we lose. These banks are all sticking together. These attorneys are all sticking together. All right? They're all doing whatever they can, right down to doctoring paperwork. Most of us have been robo-signed. There has been notary fraud involved and everything else you could think of. But dime to a dollar, these people don't know where the note and the deed is, and they are supposed to be in the same place. All right? There are many documents that have missing signatures. There are many documents that have been rubber stamped, robo-signed. All right? So if you know that one person is in Florida and then it gets stamped in New Jersey, there's a problem with that. All right, so also my telephone number is 862-621-9080. Mary, are there any other people in queue? Any other callers? Mary?
Well, thank you very much. At this point, you just have the same two callers, but I wanted to say some things if I could. The stalkers knocked me offline for a minute, so if ever you call on me and I'm not there, I don't respond, that doesn't mean that you're off air. That means that I am. I'm the most censored person in America, and that is because I am a truth teller. And my reports are not centered around international conflicts or anything other than crimes against humanity inside the USA. And when it comes down to talking about crimes against humanity inside the USA, certainly the foreclosure crisis looms large. Right now, I want you to know something. The only way they do foreclosures is not just through foreclosing. They also force people to sell their property, as you pointed out, through eminent domain. And they do things like neglect to fix water leaks. They neglect to fix the piping in certain communities when they're ready to force the people out of their homes. That's real popular for Atlanta. And when they let the sewer back up in the houses, particularly in the West End area, that's the West just a little bit west of downtown. That's where the 92-year-old woman, Catherine Johnston, lived before police broke into her house and murdered her. She lived a little bit west of Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. And for years now, the people who live in that area have had tremendous problems as far as the water backing up in their home, sewer, and what have you. And I know what's going on. It's an effort to get them out of that prime real estate. It's an effort to get them to agree to sell low so that then they will go in there and get that beautiful real estate just west of downtown Atlanta and use it for their purposes. So that is another way it's done. That is another way that it is done, ladies and gentlemen. And as you heard our host today point out, the ministers, oftentimes your preachers, are a part of the problem, not a part of the solution. Because the people, these bankers, these elitists in government, the elitists in real estate, they have deep pockets and they pay off your ministers. In fact, many, many ministers, I mean hundreds of thousands probably, I know that I read that there were 27,000 before President Bush left office that were on the Homeland Security Clergy Response Team. The Homeland Security Clergy Response Team. And their job is to keep people calm, submissive, complacent. Their job is to usher whole communities into concentration camps when the whistle is blown. Their job is to intervene in any domestic protest and put forward the government point of view and wrap it in a message that will appear to have come from heaven. Their job is to railroad your mind and hypnotize you, and as I said, wrap it in a message that appears to be coming from a religious leader who is speaking from the mind of God. These are clergy response teams. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to read to you an article that has to do with a human and civil rights organization's apparent treachery against the people when it comes to home ownership, when it comes to foreclosures. This article was written by and published in a blog called Anderson at Large. It was published on Memorial Day 2010. What a day, what a day. A day that we commemorate our fallen soldiers who died defending this country that is now being taken over completely by elitists who don't intend to, not only don't intend to give a fair share of the pie, but it appears that they don't intend for the working class people to have any pie whatsoever. The name of the article is NAACP, Wells Fargo, and the Road Less Traveled. She says, a little over a month ago, I alerted folks that Wells Fargo is a lead sponsor of the NAACP's 101st annual convention. The sponsorship came within weeks of the NAACP dropping its racial discrimination lawsuit against a subprime mortgage lender. While patting itself on the back for getting Wells Fargo to commit to doing what the bank says it is already doing, the NAACP refuses to disclose details of their partnership with Wells Fargo. A number of cities, including Memphis and Baltimore, are suing Wells Fargo for its predatory lending practices. Tellingly, Memphis Mayor A.C. Wharton Jr. announced that the lawsuit he announced that lawsuit in front of the National Museum of Civil Rights at the Lorraine Hotel. And you know that that's where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered. The New York Times reports that not so long ago, Memphis was a city where a majority of the residents are black. It was a symbol of a South where racial history no longer tightly constrained the choices of a rising black working and middle class. Now this city epitomizes something more grim. How rising unemployment and growing foreclosures in the recession have combined to destroy black wealth and income and erase two decades of slow progress. The mayor and former bank loan officers point a finger of blame at the large national banks, in particular Wells Fargo. During the last decade, they say, these banks singled out blacks in Memphis to sell them risky, high-cost mortgages and consumer loans. The city of Memphis and Shelby County sued Wells Fargo late last year, that would have been 2009, asserting that the bank's foreclosure rate in predominantly black neighborhoods was nearly seven times that of the foreclosure rate in predominantly white neighborhoods. Other banks, including Citibank and Countrywide, foreclosed at a more equal measure. I said that the other banks, including Citibank and Countrywide, foreclosed at a more equal measure regarding black foreclosures and white foreclosures, but all of them were foreclosing all across the country. The NAACP should be shouting about Wells Fargo's lending practices from the rooftop of the Lorraine Motel. Instead, the nation's oldest and largest civil rights organization is being sponsored by that predatory lender. And suddenly, when they got that sponsorship, the Wells Fargo was sponsoring their 101st anniversary convention, they dropped its racial discrimination lawsuit against that subprime mortgage lender. The same thing is happening throughout the country. It's not just the NAACP. It's many other civil and human rights organizations, its ministers, its civic leaders, its elected and appointed officials are working with elitists to steal property from hardworking American families, to deny people even water to drink in Detroit, Michigan, as our host has said. Even the water is denied people in certain areas. And I want you to know that I read an article, and it's at the top of my page on Facebook. My name is Mary Neal, N-E-A-L. The article explains that the water crisis in Detroit, it's not even equally applied. No. Almost 100% of the people who've been cut off from water are black families. However, I want you to know that the article says that while water for thousands of families was cut off due to non-payment, there has been no interruption in water service for white-owned businesses that owe hundreds of thousands of dollars in back due payments. These companies are basically Caucasian companies. This is a report from Black Like Me. Black Like Me. And you spell that M-O-I. Read it on Black Like Me. It says, these folks are being cut off are almost 100% African American, whereas these companies owned by Caucasians standing right in the middle of neighborhoods that have no water, they have water. I want you to know that Detroit sits on one of the world's largest freshwater suppliers, the Great Lakes, but the water has been more than 100% in reading. And so this is another way that they take your land. This is another way that they take your land. They cut off water all around you. They deplete city services in your areas. And you try to make a sale of your property and move where things will be better. That's another way of taking back the inner city. Oh, yes. They got tired of having to drive way out to the suburbs. And then when they got way out there, their next door neighbor was still a person of color. They're ready to take the inner city back now. And they're not trying to pay fair market value for the property. They use banks to either come in and confiscate the property on these phony foreclosures, or they do something like stop city services to a particular area, won't replace the pipes and the sewer the sewer lines. They treat people like worse than dogs, worse than domestic animals is how they're treating people. And I want you to know that they are evicting Caucasians with SWAT teams. This is not something limited to black people, but like everything else, oppression begins at the bottom and it spreads upward. Oppression is like heat. It rises. It rises. It begins at the bottom, but I don't care where you are in this economic ladder. I don't care where you are as far as your skin tone is concerned. Even though the oppression began at the bottom with the poorest people, it began with people who were elderly and black usually. But it spread quickly, and it started negatively impacting Caucasians throughout this nation. I know a Caucasian couple who they evicted with SWAT, and they even beat the man and put him in jail. He had a speech impediment, and he was hard of hearing. He couldn't follow SWAT orders quickly. They beat him and put him in jail, taking his house, throwing his wife out on the street. This has happened throughout this nation to black people, white people, others, Latinos, and yes, the big human and civil rights organizations are not using their full strength to stop it. The police are used in order to accomplish it, and your city and county and federal officials are in full agreement with it. These banks were given huge bailouts in 2009. No demands were made at that time to say, well, we're giving you some leeway, so in turn, you must give your clients some leeway. We, you know, they're just, it should have been like the situation where Jesus described. He described a situation where this very rich king gave a rich man, he gave him leniency regarding his debt. He told him, I can't pay the debt right now, please, wise ruler. Please give me a little bit more time. And the wise ruler said to him, well, since you're having trouble, I will just completely forgive your debt. And that's what happened to the banks. The banks got bailouts. But just like that rich ruler, they went and grabbed the people who owed them by the collar and started conniving ways to shake them out of their property, out of their homes, even people who weren't behind on notes. I want you to know that some of these people were not behind on their house notes. It's amazing to me, and I don't understand that yet, how they got people out of their houses who were not even behind on their house notes by lying and saying they don't have all their receipts. They don't show where they paid in the house notes in this particular year or that particular year, knowing that the average person doesn't keep receipts from years and years back. They do all kinds of tricks to American homeowners. So this rich ruler went and got a man who owed him money, and he said, pay me, pay me. And the man couldn't pay him right then. And he said, oh, rich ruler, please have mercy on me. Give me a little bit more time. And he said, no, I'm sending you to debtor's prison, you and your whole family too. And word got back to the king that this rich man that he had forgiven for his debt had would not forgive others for their debt. And he sending Yahim and threw him in the dungeon because he owed the king much more money than the man who he wouldn't have mercy on owed him. So I say to you that the U.S. government needs to demand full payment of the bailouts that were given to these banks, who will not in turn have mercy on this 80-year-old woman who they threw out of her house. And as I understand it, it was not from necessary lack of paying house notes. And they need to treat people the way they want to be treated. We are all contemporaries of each other. We should love one another as we love ourselves. But we know elitists consider themselves in a world unto their own. They consider this whole wide world theirs, and everyone and everything in it they consider as being theirs. We are here to be used and abused, used as prison investments. People are being used as prison commodities. People who worked all their lives, the land that they have bought, the houses that they have bought, are being taken from them because the elitists consider it their own. But I say to you that the only way to fight is to, first of all, unite. We are too divided ourselves. We have a frame of reference in our mind as being black and white, Latino, Native American. All those divisions are artificial. Because we're all in this thing together, and it's a situation where rich and powerful and absolutely demonic elitists consider you, your family, and your property as being their very own chattel. And we have to say no to that and not wait until the wolf gets to your door and huffs and puffs and blows in your house. Start by helping others right now. Start by standing up together, united. I want to turn it back over to our host.
All right. Thank you, Mary. All right. Thank you for all of those words. I mean, you were right on point, I'm telling you. I wrote something that I was going to put into an article. Actually, I still am going to do an op-ed. And I want to read it, okay? It's not long, all right, so, but it's what we have is a broken system. Since the mortgage crisis in 2007 and 2008, hundreds of mortgage companies, mortgage bankers, brokers, and servicers went bankrupt, were convicted of fraud, or otherwise ceased to operate. With trillions of unassigned loans still out there, MERS, which is the Mortgage Electronic Registration System, became the conduit to fraudulently pass mortgages from one entity to the other without actually assigning the note. This worked for a while until the downturn in the economy triggered a string of foreclosures. Because the assignments and endorsements were not legally made, there were holes in the documentation needed to commence a legal foreclosure action. They began creating the missing documents, robo-signing, and notarizing documents which were created out of thin air. Unaware of what was going on, millions lost their homes. The trickery is so complex. Lawyers and judges did not fully understand what was happening. By the time the word got out, the system of cheating homeowners was in full steam. Now, what we have is a broken system in which if all homeowners who were cheated or who are currently being cheated were to be treated fairly and foreclosures denied, the entire mortgage industry in this country, all the mortgage-backed securities owned by companies around the world, all the 401ks and mutual fund companies, all the retirement accounts which are vested in real estate and mortgage-backed assets would come tumbling down. The result would be a financial cataclysm never before seen in the history of the world. Dollar-denominated assets, dollar holdings permeate every sector, bank and financial institution on the globe. Although the system which was started by greed has to now be kept in place because there is nothing that can replace it. This is why, right or wrong, judges turn a blind eye. because if they paid any attention and applied the law, the bank would lose and the owner would be entitled to quiet the title to the property. In doing so, the judges themselves would be hurt because their own portfolios are heavily vested in assets and they themselves would upset their retirement accounts. The only way to fix the system is with a new American revolution. What will we do is challenge the status quo and the keepers thereof. As Thomas Jefferson famously stated, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Be under no illusions. The system is corrupt and needs to be fixed, and I know I will be met with fierce resistance. This is a human rights violation. We have the legal right to satisfy our debt without interference from the banks. In good faith, we try to do what is right, and yet our civil rights have been and still are being abused by the bank and sanctioned by the court. All right, and that is the end of what I've written, but it is so close to my heart. And just to see and to hear others speak about what they are going through and to see the hurt and the confusion as to what to do next because they feel like they are one person fighting the government, okay? Now, when we look at the Federal Reserve, when we look at what is being protected the most, we look back to when it was initially started. I think it was 1913. We're looking at the Warburgs. We're looking at the Morgans, the Chase, all right? We're looking at the Rockefellers. We're looking at some of the world's richest people. Yet, they run the world. How is it that a small amount of people who have the majority of the money want to get more money from people who have no money? How can these people want to see children not eating? There are more hungry children out there than you would ever imagine. How can we let this continue to happen? Kids sleeping in homeless shelters that are plagued with bed bugs and perverts and everything else. I'm not saying that every person in there is a pervert. What I am saying is we do have some of criminal nature in there. And you're watching your children and you're trying to make everything okay. You've got people sleeping in cars, on streets, on benches. We've got our veterans who they've been trying to remove, you know, the benefits from, and they are not getting treated the way that they should. The amount of them that are coming back from the war with PTSD or whatever other illnesses that can be there. And mind you, PTSD, they say, is not something that you can get a Purple Heart for. But if you go over there and are witness to all of the atrocities that are going on any place where there's fighting, how can that not be an ailment that affects you for the rest of your life? It does. So we're living in a society where these people don't care. So we, the citizens who do care, we have to take action. Action doesn't mean we have to go out there and get crazy. All right? We don't have to do that. But we have to stand up for our rights. We have to speak out. We have to hang in there with each other and stop fighting each other. We cannot turn away from the neighbor who has kids that are hungry. We cannot turn away from the neighbor who is hungry. We can't do it any longer. We have to stick together. And if we want to follow the Constitution, and I tell you honestly, this may be considered treasonous to anybody. I don't believe in that Constitution because everything that's in there, if you can show me a spot in there where it applies to people of African descent, I would love it. I know that there are codicils. I know that there are amendments to it. But where does it say that we of African descent are actual citizens in this United States of America? There was such a battle with keeping this going, all right, with people fighting for rights. They're still trying to take away voting rights. Look what Florida is doing. We've got a Bush down there. That's a nightmare. We've got politicians in every state who do not care about us as a people. We are human beings. We bleed red. growl when we're hungry, just as anyone else does. So we need to now put these banks in check. These people make a ton of money, a ton of money. We're talking about they make billion-dollar bonuses, and yet they fight to take an elderly, my mother, 80-year-old, they fought to get her home. Two law firms and multiple banks had to come at two women because we fought so hard. Lawrence Ham of the People's Organization for Progress called my mother the Rosa Parks of foreclosures. 12 years of fighting, and we put our foot down, and we will continue to fight. And I am willing to fight this fight for anybody else who is in it. We shall figure it out together. We shall take it step by step. I have gone through, I've looked at all the statutes, I've done everything I possibly can. I've done this manual, you know, I've put things together. But you still have people that still trust the politicians so much because they want things from them. Why would you, excuse me, kiss the behind of the person who let the devil in the front door? These banks are just devils. I'm not talking about it in a white or black sense. I'm talking about demonic entities that have stepped into our neighborhoods to destroy us as a people. They don't want to see you have anything. Nothing. All right? And don't anybody get fooled by HUD, okay? HUD bought my mother's house in 2010, and in 2012 told me, the head of HUD called me and told me they had nothing to do with it. HUD, the ones who are helping first-time homeowners or low-income homeowners get these properties are a part of the fraud as well. So we have to watch our backs backwards and forwards. We can't trust anyone. We have to trust ourselves. We have to stick together and make sure that everything goes right and that not one of them ever thinks that we are alone in this. We have to always have somebody next to us, somebody fighting with us to make sure they know we see you. We see what you're doing. We see that what you want to do, and we're going to stop you. So that was my tirade.
Well, I tell you, we're talking unity, and that is what it's going to take. As I say all the time, God says unity works. So don't worry if all you have is unity, because unity does work. The Bible says that, behold, the peoples is one. The peoples is one. They're so closely united that he speaks of them as though they are one unit. He says, behold, the peoples is one, and they have one language. And now this they have started to do. And now nothing can restrain them, which they decide to do. That's the only missing ingredient, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have a million problems. We have one problem. And that is that we, the people, have considered ourselves as individual peoples. And that is wrong. We, the people, are white, black, Native American, Latino, Asian, but we are one. And if we start acting like we're one and standing up for one another and not, you know what, in the black race in particular, it's very evident. You can always judge what the oppressor intends to do by how he's treating the least among us. He treats the least the way he plans to do everyone. You can get that also in the poem where it says, first they came for the communists, and I said nothing because I wasn't a communist. The oppressor went all through the entire population of Nazi Germany. He didn't stop at one group. So understand that the oppressor began with disenfranchised blacks, but the treatment you see disenfranchised blacks receive from the police officers is now spreading, and whites are being attacked. Even whites in very decent neighborhoods who have lots of money saved, they are not immune anymore to police aggression. I report those murders on my various Facebook and Google Plus pages, but it happens even to affluent whites now. Many Caucasians are involved as victims of this foreclosure crisis in America. So whereas it used to be the black people who were living on in the little, what do they call them, little slave huts that after slavery they started calling them tenant farmers. And if they did something that displeased master, they could be put out of their tenant farmhouse. I wrote an article about that because I came from an area of Tennessee where the people were evicted from their tenant farms by the landowners simply because they wanted to register to vote. Look it up. It's called Tent City. And I'm from that area of Tent City in Tennessee. The black people were actually evicted from their tenant farms. It wasn't a matter of them not working like slaves in the fields. It wasn't a matter of them not paying the rent on the farm. It was a matter of them displeasing master. It was a matter of them having the nerve to challenge master by wanting equal access to the voting polls. Master doesn't think that those rights and privileges should apply to people that are considered lessers. You can be considered lesser because of your race. You can be considered a lesser because of your age. You're no longer the age of productivity. You can be considered a lesser because of your health status if you've been labeled as mentally or physically disabled. And you can be considered as a lesser because you don't have the good sense to keep your mouth shut about whatever it is that masters want to do. So many things can relegate you to the class of being a lesser. But all of us lessers, be they black, white, Native American, Latino, Asian, we together are not lesser than anyone. We together can take over and run this country the way it's written in the U.S. Constitution. We have beautiful documents. We have wonderful laws. As our host for today said, we have laws that should protect the homeowners in these cases. But the laws are not being operated the way they should. Some of the lawyers are in on it. Some of the judges are in on these foreclosures. Yes. All of these people get together and back up and crap on the common man, the working class, and the indigent. And when will we say no more? When will we learn to do what God advises? He said, behold, the peoples is one, and they have one language, and now there is nothing that could be withheld from them. Nothing that they determined to do. Let us determine to do democracy in the United States of America for the very first time. Lots of people have a phrase they like to say, take our country back. That may be an apt phrase among Caucasians, but this has never been our country in the sense of inclusion for blacks, in the sense of inclusion for Native Americans, in the sense of inclusion for Latinos, in the sense of inclusion, full inclusion for Asians. This has never been our country, meaning all of us, but we have the opportunity to make it ours for the very first time if we're willing to acknowledge the great wrongs that have been done and not perpetuate them by acknowledging these artificial divisions that the elite put between us that keep us from working together to accomplish democracy, to accomplish equal justice, to accomplish liberty and justice for all A-L-L, and make that word stretch across your brain, liberty and justice for all. For I truly say unto you that an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That was said by a very famous human rights advocate, and that was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But I want you to know that it should reverberate throughout your soul. And you should know that when you look at television and you see the water crisis in Detroit, that you're looking at your own future. I want you to know that privatizing water companies, these people in Detroit sit at the largest fresh water supply in North America. I think it's one of the largest in the world. Yet their water bills shot up 100% and more. And I want you to know that like any other oppressive program, they start with the most disenfranchised, who are the blacks in Detroit. Almost 100% of the homes that are without water in Detroit are black households, while businesses owned by Caucasians in those same areas still have their water. But it's not that this system loves whites and hates blacks. What they want to do is lull the white people to sleep and make them think that it does not mean that they are targeted for their water to be shut off too. Because they will do to you what they've done to African Americans. Last year I read about the first unarmed white young man who was killed by police. He happened to be about to graduate from a college in Texas, and he was going to graduate at the top of his class. His grade point average was 4.0, but the police officer shot him dead, shot him all in his back and in his front, shot him 5 times and killed him because he said the young man was belligerent with him. I want you to read in my Human Rights for Prisoners March blog. That's a Human Rights for Prisoners March. And you see the elderly white people who have been accosted by police and shot in their own homes. One man was retired from Lockheed Martin. He wasn't a retired janitor. He was a retired engineer. So stop feeling like you are apart from the problems that we expose on Human Rights Demand, because you may have $1 million in the bank and you have property in two places in a vacation house. Honey, you don't have enough money to be in the elitist club. These people have billions, and some of them have trillions of dollars, 200 families that have as much money as all the rest of us put together. So I'm going to turn back over to your host. I hope you will think about these things. Think about uniting for justice while it is the other guy. Because if you wait until you're bound and shackled on a train to a concentration camp someplace under NDAA, you can protest then, but it will largely be too late. It's time for you to think about mass incarceration before they start using concentration camps and chain gang trains. Think about it while it's prisons in your neighborhood where people have been arrested, many of them for no cause whatsoever other than their skin color and other than their mental disabilities. Think about helping with problems while it's not you, because by the time the problem knocks on your door, all you'll be able to do is keep your own little head above water while they try to drag you underneath. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place while you still can. God bless you. I'll turn you back over to your host. This is Human Rights Demand. My name is Mary Neal. You can call in at 347-857-3293. I want to let you know that a lot of your preachers have joined the Homeland Security clergy response teams. They're not going to tell you the truth anymore. They have to preach government-approved messages to keep getting their handout that they get to trick you. Go right ahead, host.
And the only thing crazy about that situation is they're being supported by or funded by the weekly collection plates. All right. I've been in situations in churches where they count the money and then say, you know, that's not enough. You know, why don't you people come on and stand up and give what you have from your heart? Okay. When you come in there, you're already broken down, you know, from life's troubles. Not everybody, but some, okay? And then you have someone saying, hey, we know you got that extra $5 in your pocket, but come on, give us $4 of it. And I just cannot get with that. I cannot understand it. It's you have to service your flock. You know, that doesn't sound real good, but you have to work with them. You have to pray with them. When you know that they're sick, when you know that they're suffering, if there are letters that you can write to help, then you need to come to your flock and make sure that they're okay. You know? So just the fact that they're being silent, you know, where in the Bible does it say that the government says that if you don't do it our way, then we'll shut you down. We could shut down your church. It's not in there. Okay? So for them to neglect and ignore their flock is a serious issue. And I had one say to me that he was appalled that I addressed him like that. All I said to him is that he has abandoned his people. Where were you? Where are you? And what is your position on what's happening in the neighborhoods? I think that's a simple question. Do you agree with me, Mary?
I absolutely do. These preachers, first of all, many of them have not been born again. Many of them are like the Pope Francis, who denies that Jesus even rose from the dead. Now, what is he doing calling himself a pope? What kind of church could he lead if he doesn't even believe the gospel? So the Pope was indicted on July 18th. He was indicted connected with child trafficking for sexual purposes. So he has been indicted by the World Court at Brussels. So the thing is that if you're following the wrong leader, a lot of people don't know it, but a lot of people do know that they're following the wrong leaders. A lot of people kept their NAACP membership after that organization was shown to be working and siding with corporate government interests instead of the people that it has a history and it has a sworn duty to protect and serve. A lot of people kept their membership in a whole lot of churches that have been exposed. But the thing is that churches have become country clubs now. And their preachers are a little more than CEOs of the country clubs. And that's where they go on their cruises from. And that's where their children have their Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts clubs. And it's nothing but a country club. And it has very little to do with spirituality. But I say to you that where two or more are gathered together in his name, he is among them. God honors the prayers of the righteous. And what makes us righteous is having faith in him. So whatever we join to do, if we put God first and keep our faith in him, then we will succeed. Because God takes us from victory to victory. And our host today is suggesting to you that everybody who's been touched by these unfair foreclosures needs to unite. Please take a moment now. You have only 7 minutes on the clock. I would like for you to make sure that the public has your contact information. I know that you're going to put it here at Blog Talk Radio at Human Rights Demand. I know that you've already said your name, but since it's a foreign name, I'd like for you to spell it. You're not a foreigner. You've just taken an Afrocentric name. But I would like for you to give them the contact information that they need to do what Genesis 11:6 says and unite for justice. Go ahead, please, host.
All right. Again, my name is Afuya Ampoma. The spelling is A-F-U-A, last name A-M-P-O-M-A. You can find me on Facebook like that. On Twitter, Save My Home, the number 7. Again, it's Save My Home, the number 7. My email address, Save My Home, the number 7, at Verizon.net. Again, it's Save My Home, the number 7, at Verizon.net. My phone number, all right, I have one especially for a business. It's 862-621-9080, 862-621-9080. And I do hope that I hear from you guys as soon as possible so that we can get this on the road. You know, I do have a list of names already, but I would like for us to really, really unite across the nation to get this done. So all Wells Fargo people in the suit, all Bank of America in a suit, all J.P. Morgan Chase in a suit, let's get them to back down and leave us in our homes and let us live our American dreams to the best of our ability, if you believe in an American dream, all right, because so far they're turning into American nightmares. So let's try to stay together, stick together, let's encourage each other, and I encourage you to contact me, all right, so that we can get started on this suit. And that's pretty it. That's it, Mary. Oh, also, I am setting up a Blog Talk Radio show as well, all right? The parameters, I will actually put them up on my page on Facebook, but I also will put it, hopefully, Mary, we can put it on your page as well. It will be called the Foreclosure Class Action Suit USA. Foreclosure Class Action Suit USA. And the parameters will be passed out later, all right, later on this week. And I thank you so much for joining in on the call for all the listeners. I appreciate you. And please do, don't stand back for them to do anything else to you. Now, the one thing that I did leave off, for those of you who live in apartments where the owner's home has gone into foreclosure, I just have to say this last thing. As a renter, you are granted a different type of stay. If the house is in foreclosure, it has been, the landlord has lost it, I believe you're entitled to stay an additional 6 to 9 months in that property without any interference. The bank cannot kick you out because you are a renter and have been paying your rent. That is my closing statement, okay? Again, I thank you so much for joining in. Do contact me again, 862-621-9080, Save My Home 7 at Verizon.net, on Facebook at FUYA, A-F-U-A, AMPOMA, A-M-P-O-M-A, and on Twitter, Save My Home 7. Thank you for having me, Mary.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming. This is Human Rights Demand. And I want to let you know that Tuesday used to be Dr. Ansari's Human Rights Updates. And that is still the name that we're using of this show. I plan to start playing his tapes, letting us know that the United States of America has signed certain human rights treaties that it is in default on. I said it's in default on certain human rights treaties. And Dr. Ansari is the dean of the American Institute for Human Rights. I'm taking a class there right now to become a UN human rights defender. And I usually represent the mentally ill, but I'm interested in all prisoners who have been abused, brutalized, or killed, as the mentally ill are continually. And so we are preparing, we're learning the steps, and we're preparing to take these cases before the United Nations. And so if this fits you or anyone you know, please have them to tune in, especially on Thursdays when we talk about the plight of the mentally ill homeless in America. I'm also the director of the Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. That's a whole lot of people. In fact, we're talking about 1.25 million people who are wrongly victimized and used for prison commodities. sickness. You have a lot of work to do. You who are sitting around, you're unemployed, you're depressed, don't just waste your time. Please come and help us to make a human rights demand on behalf of your neighbors and yourselves. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on Human Rights Demand. Please join in with the sister as she fights against wrongful foreclosures for and for you, your mothers, your fathers. This is a thing that they're doing primarily right now to elderly people throughout this country. They're tricking them, they're defrauding them, and they are evicting them. Trickery, fraud, and eviction. That should not be the way this country goes. After working all of your life to obtain a beautiful home for yourself, it doesn't. It's not a mansion, but it's home, and you have a right to keep it. Get with this sister and work together with her and help her to help you and help others to keep your homes or to get your property back if it was wrongly taken. So God bless you. This is our human rights demand for today. Elitists, leave alone. Let people keep their homes. Give back the homes you've stolen. That's our human rights demand for today. God bless you. Goodbye.